Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter, where Mark records, especially focused on verse 12, "So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent." With the exception of Jesus, God has a perfect record of sending sinful men to preach the message of repentance, to preach that you turn from your sinful ways and trust in God alone for your salvation. And it's a difficult message to proclaim because it's a really difficult message to hear. The call to repentance often causes rejection. Many of God's prophets who he sent to preach repentance, they were put to death. But that wasn't the case with the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. Although Ezekiel likely didn't know what he was getting into when God called him, but God called him to deliver a difficult message. He sent him to his own people to proclaim repentance. In their arrogant stubbornness, the Israelites had continually sinned against God and turned their backs on him. They rejected him, and they deserved eternal damnation. But God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone, but desires all to turn from their sin and live. So God sent Ezekiel as his mouthpiece. He was not to speak his own words, but only to speak the words that God had given him to say. And to be sure, God would hold Ezekiel accountable for speaking those words. He was supposed to proclaim God's word of judgment, that they would surely die for their iniquity unless they repented and turned from their wicked ways. If they listened, God would have mercy upon them and they would live. However, if they did not listen, God would pour out his wrath on his people and they would die. And unfortunately, they were an obstinate and stubborn people. The call to repentance was too difficult for them to hear. And they not only rejected the message, they rejected the messenger. St. Paul, in our second reading, he was also a sinner just like Ezekiel. He trained at the feet of the finest Pharisees, and he took great pleasure in persecuting Christ's church, handing over Christians to be put to death for faith in Jesus. But Jesus had different plans for Paul. Our Lord would appear to him on the road to Damascus and give him a vision. And 3 days later, the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon him and he would be baptized. God would send Paul out to be his mouthpiece, to preach repentance and faith to the Gentiles. At that very beginning, Paul didn't know what he was getting himself into, but God would show him how much he would have to suffer for the Lord's name's sake. Paul knew that he was chief of sinners. He knew that there was nothing inside of him that was good, and he couldn't understand his own actions. But still, God had called him to preach. So Paul did not boast or brag about visions that God had revealed to him. Paul knew that his faith was not built upon emotions or some mystical experience, but his faith was built upon the Word of God and the promises of Jesus. So Paul went out preaching this message of repentance for folks to turn from their sin and trust in Jesus for salvation. And it seemed that Paul was also rejected at every turn. But Paul boasted about his weakness as he continued to preach Christ crucified for sinners. He knew he was merely God's mouthpiece to the people. And yet in his weakness, people came to faith by the divine power of God's active word. In our gospel lesson, Jesus sends out spokesmen, his 12 sinful disciples. He sent them out two by two, giving them authority over unclean spirits. Our text says, so they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And in our text this morning, there's a really unassuming word that's really important, right in the middle of verse 7. It's the word began. He called the 12 and began to send them out. You see, these 12 were only the beginning of the disciples being sent out. Also, St. Paul was sent out. And even today, Jesus still sends out his disciples, his pastors, his under-shepherds, to be his mouthpiece. Pastors are trained in God's word and ordained into the office of the holy ministry. They are given authority to proclaim God's holy word and administer his sacraments. They are to baptize and to teach all that Jesus has commanded. They are to forgive the sins of the repentant and withhold forgiveness of those who are unrepentant. They are given to preach the word in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Just like Ezekiel and Paul and the 12 disciples, pastors are sinful. Matter of fact, you could probably call us wretched sinners, but we are called to deliver God's word. And just like Ezekiel and Paul and the disciples, pastors are often also rejected. But they're not rejected for who they are. They're rejected because of the message that God has given them to preach. Even Jesus' own friends and neighbors took offense at him. During the 1400 plus years since God handed his law down on Mount Sinai, the law had been corrupted with human understanding and the traditions of men. The religious leaders had turned the law into a heavy burden for the people to carry, which led them astray. And the people needed to be called to repentance, so God would send a greater prophet, the greatest prophet ever than he had sent before. He would send his own son, Christ Jesus. But Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. So in our text, when Jesus steps into his hometown synagogue to preach, he likely began preaching a proper understanding of God's good and holy law, how God desires men to live before him, and how far mankind has fallen short. God's law accuses and crushes stone-cold hearts so that you recognize your sin and fear God's wrath. Come to repentance, confess your sin, turn from your evil ways, and live. Jesus next likely proclaimed the full sweetness of the gospel to soothe the consciences of those crushed by the law. It's the good news of the kingdom of God who came in the person of Christ to win forgiveness, life, and salvation by paying the wages of sin for all mankind. So it's a common thread woven completely throughout Scripture, the very words of Jesus, repent and believe in the gospel. It is true, no one likes to be reproved or rebuked, not even pastors. No one likes to be told that they are sinners. And if they don't repent and turn from their sin, they risk losing faith and salvation. You and I take offense at God's word and reject him and whoever might be proclaiming it. Our sinful nature goes and does somersaults and flips and twists, trying to sugarcoat sin so it isn't quite as offensive. We want our sins to be more acceptable. Lying has become merely stretching the truth. Cheating is now just bending the rules a little bit. Lusting is having admiration for the opposite sex. Envying is appreciating what others might have. And gossip is it's just harmless talk. Gluttony is now the lack of willpower, and sexual perversion is our God-given alternative lifestyle. And when it comes to abortion and euthanasia, well, it's my body and my choice. But as you know, it doesn't matter how much makeup and lipstick you slather on sin, God still calls a sin a sin. You and I can reject the things in the Bible that we don't like. The government can write laws that are contrary to God's word, and we can claim that the Bible was written in a different context 2,000 years ago. It doesn't necessarily mean what it says because those people lived in a different time. But sin still leads to eternal death and damnation. God's word calls a sin, and God's word doesn't change. You have God's promise. He says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So although you and I think that we can change the word of God, we cannot change the word. And that's why God sends out his messengers as his mouthpieces to preach and to speak, not man's wisdom, but the wisdom and salvation of the word of God. First, the hammer of the law to crush your sinful heart, and then the sweetness of the comfort of the gospel to be applied. Because you first must realize your sins have made you sick unto death before you can be restored to health in the gospel. You must see the filthy rags of your unrighteousness. So the preaching of the gospel, in the preaching of the gospel, you can be robed with the righteousness of Christ. And yes, it is true, regardless of who your pastor is, he's God's messenger, but he is also a sinner. But to be sure, one job of the Christian is to keep an eye on the preaching of the pastor, to make sure that he is proclaiming God's good news of forgiveness through Christ Jesus, the one who came to seek and save the lost, the one who was crucified for the forgiveness of sins and raised for your justification, because that is what matters, the forgiveness of sins because of the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for your behalf. The pastor is God's mouthpiece and under-shepherd, but it's not the pastor's words. It's the word of God that does all the work. So, dear sinner, repent and turn from your sin and believe the sweetness of God's gospel, the gospel of Christ Jesus. Examine yourself against what you have done and left undone against the Ten Commandments and repent. Repent for ignoring how God desires that you live before him. Repent for not taking refuge in his holy word and studying and meditating on his scriptures, so that you know whether you're hearing from the mouthpiece of the Lord or whether you're hearing myths and lies, listening to one of God's under-shepherds or listening to a wolf in sheep's clothing. God sends his pastors out to preach the word in season and out, and when your stone-cold heart has been crushed and you turn in repentance and confess your sins, receive our Lord's absolution, bought and paid for with Jesus' precious blood on Calvary's cross. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And while Jesus is the only sinless one to ever come to proclaim repentance, for our sake, God made him to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, suffering and death on your behalf. And with his holy word, your sins have been washed whiter than snow in the blood of the Lamb. Unlike St. Paul, unlike Ezekiel, your Savior, Jesus, knew exactly what he was getting into when he came into the world and put on the flesh of man. He knew that he would be rejected in his hometown. He knew that he would be rejected along with his word. People would reject him, his forgiveness of sins, reject his salvation that he came to buy, the salvation that comes only through him. He knew that he would carry your griefs and your sorrows to the cross, where he would be cursed at and spit upon and beaten within an inch of his life, only to have his life spared long enough that they could nail him to the cross so he could suffer and die a criminal's death on the cross, where he was pierced for your transgressions and crushed for your iniquities. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it was necessary that Christ die to save the world and you from your sins. And in his abundant love, Jesus wouldn't have had it any other way. He loved you to death, and his death has brought you peace. By his wounds, you have been healed. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.